Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 189. I am here because, part two. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on April 18th, 2021.
So you can pray for the nation of Israel. You know, they're going through some troubles just like every other nation. And the great news is that there are many people that are coming to Jesus these days, especially through this ministry, the ministry of Pastor Israel Proctor and his wife, Vicky. Now the grandparents of two children because they just had another granddaughter born just a few weeks ago. So we'll be able to see them this week. Pastor Karen and I will be going to Dallas, and we're doing a special event to help Voice of Judah Israel raise some funds and to expose the ministry to new partners. So we're looking forward, but you can be praying with us that God will touch the hearts of people. There'll be probably 200 or more that will be joining us by Zoom, and we'll be making some special presentations over Zoom to those new potential partners and prayer warriors for the nation of Israel. Praise the Lord. So I want to speak to you today, just continuing the Christian living theme that we have begun last week, studying the book of Ephesians. And I want to welcome especially our Facebook live stream audience and also our YouTube live audience. You know, God wants to bless you, and he wants to reach out to you. You know, I'm convinced that people should come back into churches and do in person because what you don't value, you lose. And it's time to come back. It's time to be part of the body of Christ. So we want to encourage you if you're out there and maybe you've got some good reasons for not coming back into the services. But I want to encourage you. God will protect you. God will keep his hand of protection over you, his blessing over you. It's time for us to gather together. We put up a new little plaque up there, gather here with a grateful heart. Just to remind us that, you know, God calls us to assemble together and to be a part of the body of Christ in a more personal way. So that's why we do it in services and in cell groups. So we want to encourage you that are out there, please connect and come back. Some of you, you know, I know so we have viewers in Cuba and other places. It's not possible for you to get here, so we welcome you. And we're not condemning anybody, but God bless you. And we're just looking forward to a year of increase, a year of strength, a year of joy to come to you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share the word of God from the Bible, from your word. We're grateful for the word of God. I know there's some people out there that think that maybe we worship the Bible or worship the book. But Father, there's nothing more important to us than your word. Jesus was the word made flesh that dwelt among us. And we want to honor you, and we want to honor your word like you honor your word above your name. So we're thankful and grateful for everything that we can learn from it. But Father, we're more interested in what we can implement from it, Father, in our own personal lives, so that we can live for you and serve you and honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So embedded in many of the models of evangelism, you know, somewhere we often hear the phrase, God has a wonderful plan for your life. I just heard Pastor Karen say that or pray that before. It's part of our DNA. And of course, it's a truism. I mean, it is true. God does have a wonderful plan for your life. You know, sometimes I suppose people that we're leading to Jesus get a little bit misled because we tell them God has a wonderful plan for their lives. And then the next day, happens, you know, and it's not wonderful. And they're thinking, you know, what's up with that? You know, I just accepted Jesus and now everything is bad. We live in a corrupted world, and we live in a world of sin, and we're surrounded by media that's pretty vile and many times lies to us and so forth and so on. So there's a lot of adversity. But that's not part of God's wonderful plan for you. It's a fact of life, and it's something that we have to face and overcome, and something that we have to deal with all of the time. But But that's not God's wonderful plan. His wonderful plan has to do with your eternal salvation, which begins here on earth. So his wonderful plan can unfold day by day if you learn what that plan is and begin to walk in it. So yes, God has a wonderful plan for your life, but yet many seem to struggle in finding that plan and in trying to live it out in a meaningful way. So maybe just a little bit of confession is good for the soul, right? So a little testimony here. So when Pastor Karen and I first met, we met in college, so that was a few years ago.
Praise the Lord.
So I saw this beautiful woman walking across the street as I was driving my 57 hardtop Chevy down by the old campus, and I have to say that she was beautiful, and I almost ran over her. And then I discovered she was in my class. So how sweet is that? And not only that, we were seated in alphabetical order and ended up being sitting by each other. So that was pretty amazing. And the guy sitting on my other side was pretty he was also in my engineering classes, and he was always pulling his hair out, you know, one by one. He was going bald because he was pulling his hair out. So I had distraction on one side, I had distraction on the other side, and we had a professor that was an alcoholic. A professor of a theology class. I only knew that because they were friends of my sister and my brother-in-law who were going to the same church and so forth. So, but anyway, I saw this beautiful lady with a short mini skirt, and I fell in love instantly. And maybe the rest is history, but we weren't saved then, so things were a little different. And I know that not everybody is given over to depression or whatever, but I used to push her buttons by seeing how close I could get to the train, you know, when the train was going across the track without losing the bumper of my 57 Chevy. That's pretty crazy. And I went to the college bookstore one day, and I found this notepad, and on this notepad at the bottom, it had this picture of some kid eating some really nasty looking stuff, and it said, "Life is a bowl of gluck, and every day is a bite, is another bite." And that was kind of my attitude of life at that time. I'm not exactly proud of that, but you know, some people are probably more subject to or more prone to depression and, you know, just down things than other people are. Some people are just naturally cheerful. When we first got married, we lived in a little house, probably that was half the size of this room, and our bedroom faced the east, so the sun would come up in the morning right through the east window that was right on top of the bed. There was just room for the bed in that room. That was about it. And so she would whip the blinds up and just begin rejoicing. I'm going, wait a minute, it's morning and we haven't had coffee yet. So I was still in the life is a bowl of gluck and every day is another bite. But I presume not everybody is like that, and then I got a job. Thank God, I got a job. Hallelujah. I got a job, and we moved to another city, and we lived there. And somebody noticed that maybe we weren't serving Jesus. You know, we went to church, we were religious, we went to the services, somehow they made us youth leaders in that church. We were not leading the kids anywhere good, but evidently this guy noticed that, and he decided to approach us. He was a campus crusader, and you know the campus crusade people, they do the four spiritual laws thing, and the first law of the four spiritual laws is God has a wonderful plan for your life. So we were exposed to that, and then I think in 1976 or so thereabouts, Dr. Bright introduced the I Found It campaign. Maybe some of you remember that, where people were wearing these buttons, I Found It, whatever, and using it as an opportunity to get people's attention so that they could speak to them and present the four spiritual laws to them and lead them to Jesus. And so through that, we did come to the Lord, and the bowl of gluck started to disappear, and my attitude and my lifestyle started to change, thankfully. And thankfully, we both got saved around the same time, got filled with the Holy Spirit around the same time, and began to grow in the things of God around the same time. So it's been a blessing to serve God all these years through that. So to make a longer story short, depression still does knock on the door sometimes, but usually Pastor Karen answers it if it does. And in usually in a fairly authoritative voice, she tells it where to go.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And if that doesn't work, a swift kick on the backside sometimes helps it along. So when those things kind of happen, you have to take authority and you have to stand and you have to get the victory over it. So if you're prone to depression, you know, I'll turn Pastor Karen loose on you and you can be set free this morning. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And if she doesn't get the job done, we have a couple of people here that probably can help her along to get you to that place. But one of the issues with that is, you know, you have to figure out, why am I here? Am I here to be a depressed, oppressed, down, live a life that's a bummer? Or am I here to do something for the kingdom of God? Am I here to serve God? And if I'm here to serve God, what does that look like? And how does that manifest in my life? How does that come up in my life, that I can serve God and be happy and be joyful in the midst of some adverse circumstances and so forth? What am I going to do, and how am I going to live that life? So that's why we're studying this in the book of Ephesians. And so last week we did Ephesians 1 and 2, and we covered a number of things to see how God has presented in a way how we can live this out. Why am I here? So this is the title of this message is I Am Here Because, part 2. So we're going to get into Ephesians chapter 3 and chapter 4 in just a couple of minutes. But it's a good question that we should all ask ourselves, why am I here? To check to see if we're on the right path in life. Because we could be on the wrong path and go in the wrong direction. And if you don't ever do the checkup from the neck up, you're probably not going to know you're going the wrong way. So it should be a serious question in our life. The New Living Translation gives this introduction to the book of Ephesians. It says, Paul wrote this letter to believers in Ephesus, a city in modern-day Turkey, to encourage them to think of themselves in a whole new way. He wanted them to think of themselves not as people who had once been involved in idol worship, illicit sex, foolish philosophies, but as people in Christ, people with radically new identity. The book offers practical ways to live in unity with God and with others. So that's pretty important, you know, that we learn that. So this book is available to us, and I hope that you study it on your own, because this is not exhausting everything that you can learn from Ephesians, but this is focusing in specifically on why am I here? I am here because, etc. So we can be sure that God wants us to live out our new identity in Christ, but the question is, how do we get there? So let's start out in chapter 3. The first point I want to make about chapter 3, I'm just going to go through these fairly rapidly and hit some of the scriptures, some of the verses in Ephesians chapter 3, is I am here because God has a plan, a revealed plan. You know, we're talking about a plan. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Verse 2 says, assuming, by the way, that you know that God gave me a special responsibility of extending his grace to the Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. So you see that it is the Bible. It does actually say he has a plan, and it's a mysterious one. So if somebody's using that in their evangelism methods, it does come from the Bible. You can see that right there. And says, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed this mysterious plan to me. Verse 4, as you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. So, the book of Ephesians is a great book, and we'll read in a little bit in chapter 4 about how he appointed certain gifts in the church, and the gifts in the church, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, etc. Their job really is to build up the body of Christ and to equip them for the work of the ministry. And so it's important to recognize that part of God's plan is something that was revealed to him, to the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, and to the other prophets and apostles, so that we could live that kind of a life, so that we could live out this kind of a plan, so we could understand the plan, understand how we fit in the plan, and understand how to walk out the plan. So that's what we should be looking for as we go through the book of Ephesians. There are other things that we can learn from the book of Ephesians, but that's one of the things that we should focus on. So I think it's important to note that this wasn't just general knowledge. Not everybody knew this before Paul and the other apostles began to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. So previous generations had to look forward to what the prophets of their time had said about the coming of the Messiah and so forth. But now Paul and the other apostles were looking back and saying, this is what happened at the cross. And because of the cross, everything changed. It was a game changer. It was a world changer. It's a life changer. And if you don't see that in your own life, then there's something missing in your life. And so hopefully through these messages, I am here because you can see that God not only has a plan for your life, but he has a purpose for your life. And there's somewhere where you fit in the picture. And when you start living that out, it's the best kind of life that you could live. Praise the Lord. So the second thing I want you to see from this chapter is I am here because I have a purpose to explain the plan. Let's look at verse 8. Jump down to verse 8. It says, though I am the least deserving of all of God's people, he graciously gave the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. So Paul is saying that specifically about himself, but I believe that this applies to every person that's here, every person that's watching on YouTube or watching on Facebook. This applies to you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God not only has a plan for your life, but he has tasked you with the specific responsibility of explaining this plan to other people. Now, you might not feel qualified to do that, but there are tools to help you do that. You know, we have training on a regular basis to help people share their faith with other people. The Time to Revive methods of using the Roman Road, it's really not a new method, but they just did some with wristbands and Bibles and so forth that made it come alive, made it really easy to use. We train people how to use that to share their faith, to share the way to come to Jesus, to come into this new life, the way to find Jesus as a Savior and as a Lord. We teach that, and we instruct people in that so that they have a way to explain the plan. So if you don't feel qualified, maybe you're just lacking some training. Maybe you have some fears about sharing the gospel with your friends and with your neighbors. But after Ellie gets done with you, you're going to just get out there and do it, because you've got all this other stuff out of your life, you know, and then you're going to go forward and just minister the gospel to whoever you see, wherever whoever puts on your path. You know, what a precious story about this lady that texted her, this young that texted her accidentally and ended up getting the gospel. I mean, isn't that what life is about? Isn't that what explaining and sharing the plan is about? So I really pray that that young lady contacts her again and that she can minister that into her life. That's awesome. And you can call that a coincidence if you want, but there, Ellie's life intersected with a 16-year-old that needed the gospel. And apparently she has some religious background because of her responses and so forth. But maybe she's just walked away from God and just, got into some stuff that took her out. So praise the Lord. You have a purpose to share the plan and to explain the plan. And if you don't feel well-versed enough in it, you need to study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman for God. Paul said to Timothy, a young evangelist or young pastor, but he's saying that really to you. I mean, it's not rocket science. Jesus went to the cross for your sins, and if that's all you know, you could share that with somebody. Yeah. Amen. And it's not your job to convict their heart. It's the Holy Spirit's job to speak to them about what you say to them. But if you open your mouth, God will put in the words. And if you stumble at it a little bit, it's okay. You know, it's not about a perfect presentation. It's about a perfect God, the perfect Son, who had a perfect Holy Spirit to take something that you say and make it into something that's great. Amen. Praise the Lord. So your job is to explain the plan. That's why you're here. I'm here because my job is to explain the plan. Number three, I'm here to unite with others to display God's wisdom. Let's look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church. Who's the church?
We are.
No, it's the building.
No, we are.
No, it's the building with a steeple and a cross on the top.
Believers,
all right, your spiritual house, you're the building, you're the place where Jesus lives, right?
Amen. Amen.
So individually, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, but collectively, we are also the temple that's built up of living stones, the Bible says. I hope you're alive. Anybody that's not alive, please raise your hand. Okay. So I hope that you're alive. I hope that you're part of the living stones and that you're allowing God to use you here to display his wisdom in a rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I think that's an interesting statement. We think about we're supposed to display the wisdom of God, how wise I am to some people around us, because we don't want to look bad. We don't want to look stupid. And don't want to feel stupid and so forth and so on. So we're intimidated about sharing. This is your responsibility to show even to unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places the wisdom of God. So what does that mean? That means by you living out the plan of God in your life, you are demonstrating to the authorities that exist around us that we don't, that we cannot see with our physical eyes. You are displaying to them the wisdom of God. Now, there's different kinds of authorities. There's good authorities and there's bad authorities. There's good angels and there's bad angels. There's demons and there's angels of God, right? But you're demonstrating really to both of those groups that God is a wise God and he had wisdom. So to the demonic forces that are around you that are trying to destroy you and the world around you and the people that you love, you're there to demonstrate to them the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is displayed in the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everybody who believes. So when you are living out your plan, the plan that God has for your life, you are demonstrated to demon powers that you and your family and your loved ones are off limits to them. And you're showing them the wisdom of God was to put Jesus on, to allow them to put Jesus on the cross, to take our sins in his body on the tree, that we could be dead to sin and live to righteousness and be healed by his stripes, because he had a plan to shove it in the face of the devil every day by how you live and by how you reach people and how you snatch them out of the fire and how you take them out of his clutches. And every time you smash that in his face, he sees the wisdom of God. Unfortunately, he, unlike people, doesn't have a repent. So, I mean, he's done. He's finished. And you're sticking it in his face every day. Now, to the other side, to the angels, you know, the Bible says that the angels are amazed. Sometimes they're amazed, you know, that God could save people, creatures like us, you know. They're probably saying to each other, it's amazing. How could God save those rascals, you know, and use them? But we're supposed to display to them the wisdom of God. The Bible says one day that you will judge angels. So how you live now is really important, because living out the plan of God is demonstrating to the angels that God's wisdom is supreme. I don't know, there aren't any locks on the inside of heaven's doors, so if angels can come in and out of heaven, then they can be anywhere that God sends them to be. And I don't think they have to stay in, you know, if they're in heaven, they don't have to stay there. They can go there. They can go wherever they want to go. They could leave God if they wanted to leave. I don't presume any more will leave after they saw what happened to the other bunch that left, you know, the third of the angels that the devil took with him. I don't suppose any more would want to leave after they see the lot of that bunch. But you're here to demonstrate to them the wisdom of God. And maybe that has something to do with them staying in their right place and doing the things that God has created them to do. I don't know. That's just my conjecture. I don't know if that's really the way it is. But I know that they're there to help. And you can read the Bible from Genesis to Exodus, and you can see how angels helped people carry out the plan of God at various times in various ages. And they didn't quit, you know, when Jesus went back to heaven, and they didn't die with the last apostle either. So they're still alive and they're active today. And one of your jobs as a believer, one of the reasons that you're here, is to demonstrate to them the wisdom of God. That's what the Word of God just said here. Can you see that? Yeah. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just reading. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, verse 11 says, this was his eternal plan. In other words, his plan from the beginning, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. So what he did through Jesus sealed the deal. That really cemented the plan of God for you, for me, for humanity, forever, for eternity. What happened to Jesus, how he lived out his life perfectly, and how he took our place. You know, we broke the law and he paid the fine. That forever cemented the plan of God for humanity to be reunited with him. So Paul writes in the book of Romans that, you know, we've been reconciled to God, and God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. It's part of his plan for us, and living out that plan just demonstrates this eternal idea that God had, that people should belong to him, that they should be his people, that he should be our father, that we should be his children. And later on we learn in the New Testament that we should imitate God as dear children. Praise the Lord. So verse 12 says, because of Christ, our faith in him and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Isn't that amazing? You know, just because you were bad yesterday doesn't mean you can't come into God's presence today. Because he had a plan in Jesus Christ for you to have your sins forgiven, to have it just as if you had never sinned. The Bible says when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So he's made a way for you where there wasn't any way. I mean, he really is the way maker. It really is amazing. And even when it doesn't look like it's working, It's working, right?
Amen.
You know, we can sing that, but is it a reality in your life?
Right.
You know, sometimes when we can't see it, and we're dealing with some stuff, and it doesn't look like it's working, it's working. His plan is working.
Amen.
Just have confidence in Him. Just hold fast. Just stand fast. Just keep pressing. You'll see the victory. You'll see the power of God come on the scene. You'll see the change. You'll see what you need to see. Now, sometimes we face things that we think are impossible. So that's one of the reasons that we're going through in our cell groups. We're going through the book Bible Prayer Study Guide, because the avenue of our access to God is through prayer. And we need to learn in an active way how to use those prayers effectively and powerfully to bring change in our own lives and to affect the world around us. Amen? So, I mean, that's one of the reasons for prayer. I mean, of course, we should glorify and magnify God in everything that we do, including our prayers, so we shouldn't forget that part of it. But it also is to bring an effect on where we're at today. And part of that is you're here because God has a plan for your life, and you're living out that plan. And part of the plan is that you communicate with Him. And this word says in verse 12 that you can come boldly and confidently into His presence. And guess what happens when you're in His presence? You get what you ask for, right? So here's a secret that, this is a little bit of a byline, but it's a secret that a man of God shared with me some years ago. He said that he learned that in his quiet time with God, as he was seeking God, as he was meditating on the Word of God, that he could feel on the inside of himself. I don't think it was like a physical feeling necessarily, but he could feel on the inside. It was as if, as he was meditating, there was a warmth would come. It was like the Holy Spirit was taking that word that he was meditating on and bringing revelation on the inside of him, and a warmth would come, a sense of God's presence would come into his life. And he discovered that when that happened, if he would begin confessing that word, just speaking it out over himself, over his family, over his church, that everything that he spoke came to pass. Because he had just come into the place of the presence of God, and when he was in the presence of God, he could ask for anything, speak anything, say anything, and it would come to pass. It's not magic. I mean, it was a process and it was a discipline. But when the presence of God came into his life, he was in the presence of God. Why wouldn't he get an answer? So that made sense to me. I can't say that I've used that principle perfectly. I'm still reaching for that. That's one of the reasons I meditate on the Word nearly every day. Some scriptures, I've read the same scriptures or heard the same scriptures thousands of times. Some of them by now, since I started that, let's see, 1990, so that's been a few years. Some of those scriptures I've probably heard or read 10,000 times. And I'm still doing it. I do it not because I've never read that word. I've read it yesterday. And the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that. But when that gets on the inside of you and something begins to happen on the inside of you, then things change. So some of us are disappointed sometimes because things are not fast enough. I get that. I understand that. I mean, you know, when I go to the fast food restaurant, I expect the window to be open as I drive by and them to throw the food in. We like instant stuff. But when it comes to spiritual things, not everything is instant. It takes a process. It takes some discipline. But if you're willing to do that and understand that the plan and the purpose of God in your life will emanate from your time with Him and your relationship with Him and the power of the Word working in your life will be changed.
Hallelujah.
You won't be the same tomorrow. You won't have to struggle like you have struggled. If you just get this, if you just get it down on the inside of you. and let God work in your life. Just let him work in a powerful way. Praise the Lord. So I'm here because God has a plan. He's revealed that plan. I'm here because I have a purpose to explain that plan, to unite with others, to display God's wisdom. And then I'm here to accomplish his plan through his mighty power. Verse 19 says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness and life and power that comes from God. You will be made complete. So I know I'm just taking a little snippet of that word there, but he accomplishes that plan through his mighty power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the presence of God that can come into your life daily so that you can live out that plan and purpose that God has for you. So you accomplish that. I'm here because he accomplishes his plan through his mighty power in my life. And just a byline to that scripture, that's one of the prayers that you can pray over yourself. You know, like the one in Ephesians 1 that I mentioned last week, this is another prayer that you can pray over yourself every day. And you can begin to see that operate in your life. If you'll pray that, just put your name in there or put yourself in there and say, me, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that God would grant unto me according to the riches of his glory, etc., etc., etc. Put yourself in there. And pray it. And what God does with that, as that becomes revelation on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. There's other prayers that you can find in Colossians chapter 1 and some other places that Paul prayed over people. You can pray those over yourself as well. So, but I want to get to chapter 4. So let's go there now. I am here to demonstrate a new kind of life. Verse 1 says, therefore, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you that to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Now, these are some big instructions, right? Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, with shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. So I'm here to demonstrate that kind of life. Now, if you look at all of those things, there's some important aspects to that, because how many of us can use more patience? I mean, just like, okay, you know, Jesus, help us. But it's part of the reason that I'm here, is to grow in that area, right? Amen? Yeah. And so when Sister Sandpaper comes up to help me with that, then, you know, I can do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. To be patient with each other, make an allowance for others' faults, you know. How many have figured out it's pretty easy to be critical in the days that we live in of a lot of things? You know, it's just, you can complain and you can whine, but it doesn't change anything. If you want to change something, you better call those things which be not as though, instead of calling those things which are, as, you know, these big problems, and you magnify the problem. Amen? There is a way to change things. And complaining and whining is not the way. Praise the Lord. Making it all about you. You know, just back to the depression thing just for a second. When I was depressed, or when I'm tempted to be depressed, what's the problem with that? It's all about me, right? Because I'm feeling sorry for myself, and I want Pastor Karen to feel sorry for me too. And until she casts it out or kicks me in the rear, I'm just in the funk where I'm just feeling sorry for myself, because it's all about me. It's a pretty selfish way to live, actually, right? Just to be a depressed person and spread your depression around. So you have to decide, I'm going to do something about that. And I'm going to let the others around me help me if I'm not doing it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, but we're here to demonstrate a new kind of life. And we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says there is one body and there is one Spirit, just as you have been called for one glorious hope for the future. In other words, you've been called for a purpose, to show the glory of God and to bring the glory of God into your family. your workplace, your home, your the places that you do business and so forth and so on. So how you treat other people at those places you go to, I mean, you can be short and angry with them and just complain and whine and, you know, be grumpy. But that's probably not going to help you share the gospel with them, right? So having an attitude check, a checkup from the neck up, as they say, you can change that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Second thing is, I'm here to live out His giftings and callings on my life. Verse 5 says, there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. So, in a general sense, we've all been given gifts. We've been given giftings, and we're here to live out his giftings and the callings that he has on our life. That's the purpose. That's why I'm here. So if you can't figure out why you're here, you know, you maybe can't comprehend or just, you know, put all of this together, all of the ones we mentioned last week and all the ones this week. But what I want you to see is there are a lot of reasons that you're here. At least pick one of them and work on it. Amen? So if you haven't been doing some of this, pick one and start working on it. Then pick another one and start working on it. Ask your cell group that's around you to help you see the ones that you're needing some help with. Find somebody who's doing it well and figure out how, ask them, help them. Ask them to help you do what they do well. Amen? So Ellie exhorts people well. Ask her how she does that. I don't know how she does that. It just comes out of her. But I don't know how she got to that place. Amen? But it's an important gifting. It's an important thing to happen in the body. You know, the Bible even says prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. Sometimes we just want people to comfort. Just kiss me, hug me, and give me chocolate, you know. But sometimes that just doesn't get it, you know. You need somebody to kick you out of bed in the morning or something, you know. Do something, you know. Just help me, Lord. Praise the Lord. So I am here to live out the giftings and callings of my life. I am here to mature into a Christ-like disciple. Verse 11 says, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity. Just notice that for a second. Until you come in perfect unity, you got us. You're stuck with us. I'm sorry. I mean, this is God's word.
Thank you, Jesus.
So you might be complaining and whining, but you're stuck. Because that's what Jesus did. He gave us as a gift to you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God's gift to the world. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. No, it's his gift to the body, actually. Amen. Their responsibility is to equip and to build up, and this will continue, etc., until we come into unity of our faith and knowledge of God's Son, so that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So God's goal in putting you here for this purpose is to bring you to a place of maturity. You know, we love Abby, and sometimes she makes noise in the service. It's okay, right?
Right.
Nobody's upset. She's a sweetie. But if she does that when she's 13, we're going to be talking to Thomas and Angie. Just saying. God expects us to grow up. Amen?
Amen.
And he's going to use us, and he's going to use us in a mighty way if we'll grow up and mature.
Right.
So our goal is maturity. So when people help us to come to a place of maturity, oftentimes we don't like it because it doesn't feel good.
Right.
just like it didn't feel good when we were children and our parents were raising us, or, you know, whoever raised us were raising us. Whether they were doing a good job or not doing a good job, it, you know, sometimes didn't feel good. But it's not what feels good that makes good character. It's what God says that makes good character.
Amen.
Amen. So we're here to become mature and become complete, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now that's a big, that's a tall order, isn't it? So none of us have arrived to that place, but we're reaching for it and we're being formed into that place. Okay, so I am here to live out my new identity in Christ, becoming a person of destiny. Verse 14 says, then we will no longer be like immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Now, I want to tell you that in our generation, there's more access to that stuff than any generation that ever lived on the face of the earth. You can go to the internet and you can find everything. And a lot of it is not true. And a lot of it will mislead you, and a lot of it could take you to hell. So, there is a cure for that. There is a way for that. It's to become mature in the things of God.
Amen.
So when somebody's teaching, you know, not everybody's perfect. Not every teacher teaches the right things. You can eat the hay and spit out the sticks, so to speak.
Amen.
Even a horse has that kind of sense. Amen. So if you find some sticks, spit them out. But you don't have to throw out everything, just the sticks. If you can't tell what's sticks and what's hay, then you better stay away from the whole basket full of whatever is there.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Okay. So instead, verse 15 says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Okay, so if what you're learning and what the teaching that you're receiving and whatever, if it isn't helping you to grow to be more and more like Christ, you probably need to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just be honest with you. I mean, if it isn't getting you there, you need to pray and ask God, where am I supposed to be? And what am I supposed to do about this? Now, if it's just because you're lazy and you're not doing it on your own and you're just expecting, you know, the pastor to do it for you, or your cell leader to do it for you, or somebody else to do it for you, then you've got a different problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just someplace and you're just not growing, you're just stuck there, and, you know, they're feeding you three poems and a song, there's no other way. You need to look for someplace where you're going to get food.
Right.
That grows you.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Speak the truth in love and accept the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So then it says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. What happens when one part of your body is out of order? It affects everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever got up in the night and stubbed your toe on something and said, oh my goodness, you know, it hurts all the way to your head? Jesus help me. And hopefully you didn't utter some unutterable words. So as a body, we're supposed to grow together, come into unity, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And that's a tall order too. Praise the Lord. Okay, so what should we walk away from this morning with? I need to land the plane here. Maybe the best way is just to read a few more, just to close with a few more verses that he has in the word here in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start with 17. It says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. Who's that? He's talking about the heathen. For they are helplessly confused. The young lady that texted Ellie was helplessly confused.
Yes.
Their minds are full of darkness. They are wandering far from the life of God because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So that applies to any kind of struggle you're having with sin, any kind of struggle you're having in your life. The Holy Spirit needs to renew your attitudes, to change your attitude about it. If you don't allow Him to change your attitude, you're not going to change your actions, because your actions will follow your attitude. The things that you're thinking and meditating on will become how you are. And it's a struggle. I understand that. You know, as long as we're here in this world, we're in the flesh. We're in a flesh and blood body. It's affected by all the things that are around us. It's pulled in different directions by those things. And the only thing that we can do to change that is to allow the Holy Spirit to change that inside of us and to give us a new attitude and a new mind, a renewed mind about it. Put on your new nature. So some things you have to put off and put out, and some things you have to put on. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Righteous means, you know, you're righteous through the blood of Jesus. It comes as a gift of God when you're born again. But holiness is living that out as a separated, different, and other kind of person, that you're living the righteousness that's on the inside of you. You're living out in your life. So that you have to put on. Verse 25 then kind of gives some instruction how you can do that. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are parts of the same body. Verse 26, and don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. You know, that's a big problem with a lot of people. If you go to bed angry, you're going to wake up angry. And if you wake up angry, you're going to have a rotten day. You may think it's going to be okay, but having anger is like drinking poison expecting somebody else to die. It doesn't work that way. You're the one who is harmed. You're the one that's hurt. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. That's why it's dangerous. Verse 28, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for hard work. Do you notice here, you quit doing stuff, but you should do something positive, something powerful, something in line with the kingdom of God and God's plan and purpose for you. Don't use foul, abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words are an encouragement to those who hear them. So do a checkup on your words. And if you need help from some other people to say, you know, if I say stuff that's not right, just correct me. And then accept it when they do. Amen? Sometimes we get mad when people correct us. I mean, I don't like Pastor Karen correcting me, but she does a good job of it. She does it usually in a sweet way, and sometimes when it's necessary, not in a sweet way. But that's how God puts people together, so that you can live a life that's pleasing to Him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. I mean, if we would just think about, you know, when we're doing stuff, is this bringing sorrow to God's Holy Spirit? Is how I'm talking, is it bringing sorrow to Him? Is it bringing joy to Him? Is what I'm doing now, is it bringing joy to God, or isn't it? If we just ask ourselves those questions, we'd maybe change what we're doing. If it's not right. Amen? And if it is right, and if it isn't, you know, if it's bringing joy to God, hey, have at it. Just indulge in it. Take a swim. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, verse 30, don't bring sorrow. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You know, there's a coming day when Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And he's not coming back as the baby in the manger. He's coming back as the judge. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead. So there's all the get rid ofs, and then there's the instead. Look at these. Instead, be kind to each other. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. That's the biggest thing to remember. If you're having trouble with people, you're having problems with people, remember, God forgave you.
Amen.
He forgave you.
Amen.
And you need to forgive that person.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Because it's a showstopper if you don't. So let's end with this confession. Everybody ready? One, two, three. God does have a plan.
God does have a plan.
It's a good plan.
It's a good plan.
It's a plan I can execute.
It's a plan I can execute.
I can do all things through Christ.
I can do all things through Christ.
Who strengthens me.
Who strengthens me.
I have God's Holy Spirit to guarantee.
I have God's Holy Spirit.
To guarantee this plan.
To guarantee this plan.
On purpose and with purpose.
On purpose.
I ditch bitterness, rage, anger, and harsh words.
I ditch bitterness, rage, and harsh words.
I ditch slander and all types of evil behavior.
I ditch slander and all types of evil behavior.
On purpose and with purpose.
On purpose and with purpose.
I am kind to others.
I am kind to others.
I am tender-hearted and forgiving.
I am tender-hearted and forgiving.
Just as Christ, God through Christ has forgiven me.
Just as God through Christ has forgiven me.
So rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Amen.
Yes, he is. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I want to pray for those who are on Facebook Live and YouTube live stream. Father, in Jesus' name, we reach out to those that are viewing this and those, Father, listening later on podcast. And I just ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you make yourself real to them in a special way today. And Father, in all these things that we've been discussing these last 2 weeks, Father, that you will bring them to a place of finding your plan and finding your purpose for them. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will bless them to be a blessing as they carry out that plan and that purpose. That as they understand that they are here because all of those things, Father, they begin to implement them in their lives through the help and with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you, Father God, that your Lord would destroy yokes and lift burdens. I take authority over the spirit of fear and despondency and depression and all of those kinds of things that would tear down their lives and put a dome of despair over their lives. And I ask you, Father, to lift them out of it in Jesus' name, to gently lift them out of it, Father, to bring them to a place of walking with you like never before. Holy Spirit, speak into their hearts and speak into their lives. And let your anointing destroy the yokes and lift the burdens that they have. Let your peace, your supernatural peace that surpasses understanding, keep and guard their hearts and minds in Jesus. Let your grace and your peace be multiplied to them through knowing you. And Father God, above all, we just ask you that our walk with you would be greater each day. And that your presence in our lives, Lord, would be more evident each day. And that as we work this out together as a body, that it be evident to those around us, Father, that there's another way to live, that there's a new way to live, that there's a good way to live, that there's a powerful way to live. And we just thank you, Father God, for bringing others into the kingdom by your grace, Father, by your favor coming and flowing over our lives and flowing into the lives of others, Father, in Jesus' name. Help us to be ambassadors for Christ, to be a representative that minister to others with the dignity that Jesus deserves. And for it, we pray, we give you glory in his precious name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you, and we shall see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.